to this episode of the Soul Frequency Show. I'm Shauna Ekdahl, modern day woman living a mystical life. And I must admit that I spend a lot of time behind a computer or on one of my two cell phones. And if you're anything like me, you might spend a decent amount of time around electronic devices too. I mean, I think most of us do these days. But what is the cost of that? What do we need to understand about these devices and the frequencies that they emit? When you think back to the times when humans lived off the land and spent more time in nature, there were no smartphones or laptops or iPods. You know, there's been a lot of changes in our environment and a lot of technological advances, and the new ways in which we live obviously affect our human body. But the real question is, to what degree? I think one of the best things that we can do is inform ourselves of what I like to call dirty frequencies, such as electromagnetic frequencies, also known as EMFs, radio frequency fields, and dirty electricity. I mean, we are being inundated with cell towers and cell phones and Wi-Fi signals and even the electricity running through our homes. These energy frequencies cannot be seen. Instead, they are felt and they are affecting our health. In the world of energy, we cannot rely on sight. We must rely on how we feel. We must learn to decipher what feels positive and uplifting and what feels negative and draining. Because the unseen world of energy is powerful, and I believe it's even more powerful than what we see with our eyes. My guest today is Nicolas Pineau, a health journalist who has published more than 1,500 online articles through a daily newsletter called Nick and Jen's Healthy Life. In 2017, he authored The Non-Tinfoil Guide to EMFs, an unconventional book which combines common sense and humor to tackle the very serious topic of electromagnetic pollution and its effects on human health. You may learn more about Nick's work at nontinfoilemf.com. When I read Nick's book, I knew he and I would be friends. It would seem impossible to bring lightness and humor to a subject like EMFs, and yet he did it. And he also made a seemingly difficult topic easy to understand. On today's episode, we talk all about dirty frequencies, how they're affecting our health, and what are the signs that your body is sensitive to EMFs. Also, how to take certain measures to protect your body as much as possible. We live in the age of technology, which has provided us many benefits, but we also need to understand the costs and how to take simple actions to preserve our greatest asset, which is our health. With no further ado, here's to the genius who figured out how to simplify EMFs, Nicolas Pineau. Nicolas, welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you are here because we're going to be talking about this important subject, which is dirty frequencies, and I can't wait to jump into this.
Well, thanks for having me, Shauna. I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah, so when I had a chance to take a look at your book, which we'll talk about in a little bit, called The Non-Tinfoil Guide to EMFs, which is a brilliant book, I had to laugh to myself a little bit when I read, I'm just a guy who's slightly obsessed with getting to the bottom of things. And I thought that was so brilliant because I have a little bit of that in my personality. And I love how real you are in this book, because this can be a difficult topic. It can be a hard to understand topic for some people, and you just make it so simple. And so tell me how you started looking at these dirty frequencies in the form of EMFs and why this is of interest to you.
Sure. And maybe I'll define terms here, because some people, I realize I'm so deep into the research. I'm like, EMFs this, EMFs that. And people are like, Nick, what's an EMF? And I'm like, oops, sorry about that. EMF, electromagnetic field, fields or frequencies. And these are the wireless signals that come off our wireless technologies like cell phones, but also Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. And these are basically a new kind of modern pollution that we're exposed to basically all the time now. If you have right now, I'm getting exposed because I'm on the Wi-Fi. So it's not like it's something where it's killing everybody, but my research has shown that it might be affecting us. But going back to my story, I'm a health journalist, and I've been doing that online, writing online articles to several thousands of people from all around the world and just reporting back on what I am learning, basically my own experience and my own self-experimentation. And my interest in health has dated back from probably when I used to be 19, probably 11 years ago. And last year or year and a half ago, I had heard here and there about people claiming my cell phone caused me brain cancer, or I don't feel well around a cell phone. And I heard about something called electrical hypersensitivity, which is basically like a kind of Wi-Fi allergy. And to be completely honest with you, Shauna, I didn't believe all that. I believe, okay, yes, maybe they can affect us a little bit, but I didn't really understand how deep the problem went. And I'm a guy that's literally obsessed with things, and my wife can tell you we've been together for 8 years and now in business for 5 together, and she bears with me. I don't know how she does it, probably because we're meant for each other. But honestly, I became obsessed with this one topic, and I don't know why, and I felt a strong calling, and it had been years. I was kind of writing about all topics health related, so food and lifestyle, and you need good sleep, you need to go in the sun, vitamin D and this and that. But I kind of felt a deep unsatisfaction in where I was going with that. After 4 years of just writing online articles, I had almost 2,000 articles written on different topics. I didn't feel I was good in one topic, or let's say an expert in one topic. I was barely making it on all topics. And that wasn't satisfying for my psyche. I wanted to go deep in something. And I saw that as a calling, because I came across information that just stunned me about how they test these devices. And we can get into that, but I don't want to digress. But in a way, basically, I realized that these things are not tested the way they should be, and we're being exposed to technology that is unproven. And it led me to, instead, the average guy would maybe spend a week on that, but I ended up spending months and months and months just learning everything I could. And then I figured, okay, well, I asked Jen, my wife, because she's also my business partner, Jen, do you think I should write a new book? It's like, Nick, really? I mean, but yeah, we can. And I mean, we can make, I mean, a book, you can sell it, you can make money with it. Okay. So she got on board, and we made the jump. So I spent, I wrote that book in 6 weeks, believe it or not. It wasn't me. I had almost 600 pages of research lined up in Google documents, and it was an obsession. I had to write this book, and I had to make it. It was so overwhelming for me, even if I consider myself, or other people tell me, Nick, you're a health expert. The topic was so crazy and overwhelming, and I didn't know where to start. Even though I'm this expert, I figured for the average person, how can I expect them to do anything about it? And I wanted to find solutions. So this is why I wrote the book. And now we're here. And when we met last month in San Diego in a business event, the Mindshare Summit, I got on stage to talk about the topic, and it was so well received. I'm still a bit shocked about what happened just in the last six weeks alone, because people know that something is up. A lot of people are feeling the effects and are feeling that these dirty frequencies might be disruptive to them, but somehow a lot of them have been convinced either by themselves, because they want to be reasonable and whatnot, or by their dogs, that it's all in their head. And I'm here to tell you today that it's probably not in your head, and that even a cell phone can be disruptive to your energy.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, because we talk about energy frequency all the time, and we're often talking about it in a lot of different ways. And this is why I was so excited to have you on, is because when you're a sensitive person, right, and you are walking around, you are oftentimes feeling other people's feelings. You're kind of, you know, having days where you feel more sensitive, days where you feel less sensitive. It's like this always moving, living, breathing way of being, right? It's not like every day is mm-hmm. the same for people that are sensitive. And so certainly a lot of people that are, you know, energetically sensitive are going to also be sensitive to all of these frequencies, right, that we're taking in, that we have never taken in, right? I mean, all this technology is so relatively new, and it is being grown and expanded at such a huge rate, right? So years ago, we didn't have cell phones, and now it's like people can't spend a minute away from their cell phone, right? And so we're taking in all of this energy. Can you give me specifics of what people might feel or what physical sensations or mental sensations that they're having when they are hypersensitive to this?
Sure. And people, I wanted to find people who are hypersensitive, because even get into just a little bit of science, because some people will be listening to this with a skeptic mindset and they will say, okay, Nick, you're just making this up. Well, what is the percentage of people who are electrosensitive as described by science? And there's actually Magda Havas. She's a researcher from the Trent University in Toronto, one of the top in the world. And she says that a third of the population has mild to moderate symptoms of electrohypersensitivity, which is EHS or ES, electrosensitivity. And these include, for example, fatigue, tiredness, just overall, like you don't know what's wrong with you and you're more fatigued than you should, depending on what you've done during the day. So sometimes a lot of people have told me, my mom, who started working again after recovering from breast cancer last year, is in a high EMF office environment with high stress. And I think it's not helping. She feels drained at the end of the day. And people who are very sensitive, you might feel very, very drained if you go in downtown LA, whereas you can do the same stuff in the countryside and feel just fine. So that would be like your energy drain, your tiredness is just increased. And then a lot of people get brain fog. They have a hard time concentrating, memory. They can even feel dizzy, but it can go above that. Some people, for example, if you place a cell phone in your front pocket right next to your heart, it's not the best idea. And some doctors have realized that their patients suffered from heart palpitations and they just didn't know what was the cause. They tested their cholesterol. It was fine. The guy was healthy, active. It turns out, well, a cell phone emits a signal that's electromagnetic. That's an EMF. But your heart is electric. It's another kind of EMF. So it disrupts whatever you put it right next to. And then when it's in the air, when you're in a thick electrosmog like in LA or a large city, I'm in Montreal right now recording this. And these levels just in the streets are fairly high because everyone's working around with their devices and sending pictures and like now listening to HD videos and whatnot. And it's affecting everyone to some degree. But the one symptom I didn't tell you about that is very, very common is poor sleep or straight up insomnia. And it's not rare these days. I don't remember where the stats are at, but don't quote me on that. But I think it's about 25% of people that have a very hard time sleeping or straight up insomnia. Same thing in teenagers and children, by the way. So it's a grave epidemic. And it turns out that when you have a cell phone next to your head, let's say you use it as your alarm clock and it's right next to your head, even if you don't use it, if you do not put it in airplane mode to remove the signals, it's constantly emitting several times per minute just to tell the tower, hey, I'm here just in case you need to send me a call. So it's basically like the way I put it usually is you try to sleep, but there's some invisible ghost poking you in the head and mm-hmm. waking you up a little bit, you know? So yeah. What goes out of the window is this stage 4 sleep that's called the deep sleep, REM. And this sleep is when you remember your dreams. So even on, and there's police is trying to get me. Never mind. No, but it's such a topic that when you start talking about it, it does sound a little bit crazy. You're like, wait a minute, Nick, my cell phone could be affecting my sleep. Well, do a test. If you just do this test for a couple of nights and you remove all your wireless devices and your fancy Bluetooth gadgets from your bedroom for just a couple of nights, a lot of people report better sleep right off the bat. And then they realize, oh, wait a minute, I am sensitive to these signals. And I honestly think that 33% is the minimum. I think it's 100%, even though some people might not be attuned to this feeling.
Yeah, it's interesting. We actually, in my household, we actually took out all, you know, even things that plugged into the wall from anywhere near our bedside tables or our heads, and all phones, you know, are outside the room and stuff. And we noticed a difference in our sleep patterns. And this was a few years back. But it's pretty powerful when you realize, because sometimes, you know, so often we have things that come on little by little, right? Like insomnia that comes on little by little, or, you know, certain ailments or that brain fog. It doesn't just happen overnight that you go from zero to 100, right? And so it's like this progressive thing, and you tend to notice it. You notice it, but it's like little by little, it gets worse and worse. And so when you have that immediate effect of taking, you know, taking those devices out of your bedroom and you you find yourself sleeping better, remembering your dreams, things like that, you really think twice.
Yeah, you do. And it's important to talk about why are these devices, I mean, it's not like it's written on the insert inside the package on your new iPhone X that's going to come soon and people are all excited. It's not written like do not place next to your head while you sleep. Mm-hmm. Because the way it's tested, it's for heating effects. So basically back in the days, this is based on old safety limits that they set in 1996. Go figure. It's 21 years since they revised the amount of EMF radiation that is permitted. So I think personally, when I tell that to the average person on the street, they jump and they're like, wait, this is unacceptable. Because, I mean, of course, 96 was not the same environment as these days. And the number of cell phones is, like times a quadrillion or something with all the devices. So they're not updated. This is old science that basically says, as long as your phone doesn't overheat your ear and your brain, you're fine. So this is based on heat. But what they didn't realize is the other effects that might be happening on a cellular level. And without going into much detail, one of the effects is the pineal gland. And this is actually a lot of people in the that are really into spirituality. And I don't know much about it, but I know that the pineal gland is one of the glands that's considered the gate to your consciousness, right?
Yes.
And that is part in very, very critical in the way you can elevate yourself and think for yourself. And I guess like be good to your neighbor and all these important feelings. And it ends up messing with your melatonin production in the pineal gland directly, just as if it was light. Because another thing that is disrupting your pineal gland is when you look at a bright screen at night, the same thing is happening. And these things have been proven over and over and over. This is almost old science now, but it's a fact. So I think personally, at least Apple should have on the insert, like, I don't know, put it on airplane mode before you go to sleep, like without telling you that this device is going to kill you or anything. I from my book, I'm not an extremist. I try to be very, very careful about what I'm saying. But there are ways that you do not want to use your cell phone or even other of these apparatus that create dirty frequencies, because they're just going to take a little bit away from your health. And if you're listening to this, I'm sure you do not want that. You want to live a happy life and just to your full potential, you know?
Yeah, and you bring up a great point, because in everything, when we talk about food and nutrition and health, and it's so important from an energetic standpoint to not go into fear, right? Because this is important information to know. And like you said, it's as simple as putting, you know, something on the insert that says, put this in airplane mode, you know, at night or when you're not using it or won't be receiving any calls. And then that's a simple action that we can take that makes a huge difference over time. The important thing, because when people switch into, from an energetic standpoint, switch into fear, it's like, We can hear information like this and we can go, oh my gosh, I need to change everything overnight. Or, oh my gosh, I'm going to be afraid every time I'm in a big city or every time I'm around all this technology. And that's just compounding the issue, right? And so when we talk about these things and we bring out this new awareness, it's not to put people in a place of fear, right? It's to educate and it's to go, wow, there are all these small little actions that I can take that take less than a minute, that don't cost me any money to do, to preserve, you know, a healthier space. And I really believe from all vantage points, whether it's food and nutrition or energetic healing or EMFs, it's really about looking at, and toxicity too. It's not living in a bubble. It's saying, how can I minimize the effect? Right? You're not going to, you know, you're not going to throw your cell phone away, you know what I mean? And go live on a hilltop somewhere. Most people aren't, but it's going, okay, how can I do this in the healthiest way possible without conjuring up all this fear, and just knowing from an educated standpoint how we can take action?
Exactly. You put it even better than I think I did in my book. So I should have rewrite the intro. No, seriously, it sells all the ideas I've been thinking in my head and trying to convene on different podcasts. And it's really that if hearing about EMFs, if I were to tell you even some truths, some science-based truths about EMFs, you would go in fear mode and you would be, oh my God, we're doomed. And I think that the fear of EMFs would be worse than EMFs themselves in some, and this is what I see with diet. I see that with, I've had a great discussion on a podcast with Ari Whitten, with I met the guy at the Mindshare too, and we had this amazing discussion, and he basically concluded, you know what, we should always have some sort of disclaimer, like do the best you can with the information you have. And when you learn these things that you learned today on the podcast, do not feel like you have to do it tonight or else something bad will happen. You've lived just fine up to this point. The truth is, these signals, why I'm sharing this information is not that the effect is acute and that they will make you sick tomorrow, but they might make you sick in 50 years. And we all want to live long and healthy, have a health span and not just a lifespan, you know? So this is really why I'm sharing these easy tricks to reduce exposures. And eventually, technology will get better. Technology will get healthier, and people who are responsible for the safety guidelines and still think that 21 years old safety guidelines are okay, they will wake up and be like, oh my God, we're so late on this. They're going to update them. The devices are going to be safer. I'm sure this will happen, but when, I don't know. So in the meantime, just like when it comes to a lot of things, my advice is to take something called in science a precautionary principle, which means, well, if you don't know if something is harmful or not, better err on the safe side and kind of remove as much of these sources as possible instead of doing what most people do these days, which is adding in new devices left and right and new antennas in cities and whatnot. So I think it is not the smart approach to do.
Yeah. And Nicholas, it's because of people like you that these changes will get made, right? Because I always say we need to be provided information, right? We need to have informed consent about these things. If there's a warning on a phone and someone doesn't want to heed the warning, that's their free will choice, right? But it's informing, giving people the information so that they can make the healthiest choice that they want to make for them. And that is what I think your work is doing, is really furthering that and saying, hey, let's start telling people, you know, the truth about this stuff and teaching them how they can protect themselves. Because like we said, it's simple little things. And you shared something really cool, which I've adopted. Do you want to share about as far as the computer screens, the blue light on the computer screen, what you can do?
Yeah, sure. Definitely. Well, when it comes to computer, I'll start with one trick, which is do not put it on your lap. Whether you're a man or a woman, I don't care, honestly. One study showed that 4 hours of laptop use on your lap, which is, let's face it, the laptop has a cell phone emitter inside. It's the same kind of EMF, similar strength. You're basically having a cell phone between your legs, like blasting away at your very sensitive organs. You don't want that. So put it on a table. In my book, I share some solutions. There are some shielding devices, but I just want to mention that as far as EMFs goes, you do not want to have this computer or even a tablet right next to your body. It's always distance that will create safety. And then the second thing, when it comes to blue light, well, a lot of people see me working at Starbucks here in Montreal, and they ask me, dude, what's wrong with your screen? It's all red. It's very red. It's almost like red and black. And they're like, you're so weird. And they see me writing all day and whatnot, doing a bunch of very weird things. And then I don't know, sometimes I feel a bit shy, but I have to overcome the shyness to educate them. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to show you. And it's a software called Iris, IRIS, and this software, there's a free version, there's a paid version, but it's a couple of bucks. And what it can do is change the color temperature of your screen. So normally a screen is very white, you know, these new like super LED, I don't know what technology Mac does now that is beautiful, but that is very, very stressful for your eyes and also very stimulating when you work at the computer all day and especially in the evening. So it's very dark outside, but your screen is bright, shining bright like the sun. So it's basically telling your biology, your body, hey, it's noon right now and you should be awake. And then you wonder why you try to go to sleep 15 minutes after your work is done and it's 10, 11 and you have your eyes wide open staring at staring at the wall and you don't know what to do, you're insomniac, well, it doesn't help. So what Iris software can do is you can have a setting with a lower light temperature, which means more orange. And think about what we used back in nature before electricity. It used to be candlelight or fire. And this is really like orange, low temperature or warm temperature that we can call those. So you can emulate the same thing on your computer. And if you're an author, if you're an entrepreneur, if you work on a computer all day, this is really something that once you have it on and then you use it for a week, you can never go back. It's my guarantee. Like, you will realize how white and almost blinding your screen used to be for your eyes, and you'll feel calmer. Usually people report, of course, sleeping better at night if you have that on in the evening, but also overall less fatigue and eye strain during the day at work. So it's just another trick how to tame your technology, so to speak, to make it more compatible with your human body.
Yes, and I highly recommend this. And what was interesting, because I'm so sensitive, is that from the minute I put it on, I mean, certainly you notice the color difference right away, right? So you see the color difference, mm-hmm. but I felt my body just calm down. It's like it just, stress left my body. It was weird. It's like, I go, oh my gosh, it had me realize that looking at these blue lights, because I'm in front of a computer often and at night and during the day, I mean, often. And so it had me realize that my body's in a stressed state with that light, and it immediately relaxed my body. And then within, I would say a day or two, I don't even notice the color difference, right? My eyes just adjusted to those new tones. And now that feels really like how it should look, right? And so So that was fascinating too, because it's, you know, we adapt to everything. And so I don't even notice the difference now.
Totally. And you know what you shared there, and some people that are really science oriented would kind of slap me for it. But I think that having a strong sense of intuition might be more useful than science in some aspects. And this is the opposite of what skeptics will want me to say. But it's true. In reality, if you feel your body, like, let's say if we were really attuned to our bodies, I'm convinced, and this is not just woo-woo, I think it's the new science that's emerging with bioenergetics and all sorts of crazy science that's emerging right now. If you're very attuned, like probably a lot of people listening to this are, you're blessed with something rare, which means that if you feel your cell phone and it's tingling in your hand and you're like, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this. It's probably true. You got to trust your intuition, your instinct. So if you do a change and you feel completely different, listen to it. And then, of course, you can take a very scientific approach about it and then look into, I don't know, has my deep sleep percentage, efficiency, whatever you use in a track, in an app that you could put on your cell phone on airplane mode, of course, but you can take the scientific approach and try to put numbers on that, but trust your instincts when it comes to these new technologies, because some technologies will come out in the future that won't be EMFs, that will be something else. It's evolving so fast, and everyone will tell you that they're perfectly safe. This is the meme. This is what people are repeating. No, it's cool. It's the future. And if you realize, wait a minute, there's something off, it probably is. And it probably is not you being totally paranoid. So I want to mention that, because this is something I've actually started embracing myself more as I'm getting healthier and healthier. I just realized that when I listen to my intuition, it brings me the truth more than lies or paranoia, when I don't feel fearful, like you mentioned.
Yes, exactly. And I love that you bring that up, because again, you know, so much of the latest science even is that we're bio-individual, right? There's so, each person is unique in so many different ways. So there's not one set way of doing anything that works for everybody. And so I have found, like in my work and in my own life, that like you said, the healthier you get, the more you clean out your body, the more you understand some of these areas where you want to just pay a little bit of attention and maybe take, you know, some actions that are doable for you, that you become more connected to that intuition and more connected to what is right for you, right? We call it, a lot of times we talk about on the show, your internal GPS, right? Your GPS system was built for you, and it informs, you know what I mean, what is right for you. And mm-hmm. so I love that you say, you know, that, you know, the science could say one thing, and certainly the manufacturers will be telling you one thing, but it's really looking inside and saying, does, you know, is this affecting my life in a negative way? Or do I not like the way this feels? Or, you know what I mean? Do I find myself not sleeping as well? Do I find myself not feeling as well? And being able to just make a couple tweaks, you know, based on how you're feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And this is something I struggle with, listening to my intuition, because what will happen, even people taking action on this podcast, let's say you start putting your phone on airplane mode, or another thing I share in the book that's really easy to do. You can turn off your Wi-Fi router at night, and you can do that by plugging it into a Christmas light timer. So these things where you can set it maybe 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. when you wake up, or whatever hour you wake up at, and you make sure that at least you get a couple hours of rest without these signals at night. And you might realize that for you, you sleep way better. But then your partner, your husband, your wife, your kids, they might not realize anything. And then you'll have the thought, is it all in my head? I had this thought. My wife is not really sensitive, or she cannot feel it. But I had changes in my testosterone, my performance, that I could basically turn on and off just by switching the router off at night. Because my deep sleep, it seems that I can dream when the Wi-Fi is off, and I cannot dream when it's on for some reason. And then it's going to vary. Eventually, if I get healthier, maybe I'll get less sensitive. And a lot of people that suffer from this electro hypersensitivity we talked about at the beginning of the show, they report that as they get healthier and healthier and kind of remove the signals and do a bunch of different things, whether it's diet and lifestyle, meditation, a lot of spirituality, a lot of letting go of the fear and trauma that this caused in their life, they report that they don't feel it anymore. And it doesn't mean it's not affecting you, but so it can vary. And even if you're in the same room with five people and they all point to you and say, you know what, it's in your hand, no one feels anything right here, it's probably not. So it varies. So just listen to your gut when it comes to EMFs is a very good idea, on top of knowing the science, using the science, cool. And I share a lot of ways in my book, and in a special checklist I actually prepared for your audience I can talk about, but
yeah,
that you can
sure
remove.
About that. That's really cool.
I'll get into that because it seems like the perfect segue. Well, I have a list here of my top 10 things that you can do to reduce EMS in your environment. So it's divided. Basically, the worst offender oftentimes is the device that you hold in your hands, like your cell phone or a tablet, and it's always close to you. And you're always like I don't know, the average adult looks like a couple hundred times per day at their cell phone. It's a bad habit, but we all do it, you know? So these devices are like hot potatoes that you need to learn how to handle properly if you want to reduce your exposure. So this checklist, I put a special link at nontinfoilemf.com/Shauna, and you can download it. You just enter your name and email, and it's basically my top 10 things you can do. And I want to mention, like, it's not hard, these things. We shared a couple of things. One is a click of a button, like putting airplane mode at night. One is the click of a button, like closing down your Wi-Fi, or even putting it on the Christmas light timer. So it's really, I focused in my book and on this checklist. You don't even have to buy the book. Like, the top 10 checklist will reduce your EMF exposure by orders of magnitudes compared to what you used to do, and you will feel better. And then if you want to go a little bit deeper, learn the whole story, learn about the health effects and everything else, the book is a good resource. And then I have other things that I'm working on that are going to be even better, I think, because it's way more than EMFs, you know, health. It's just this holistic approach. And even, I don't know, reducing blue light could be another thing. Reducing stuff that's artificial from your light overall will help you be a healthier person. So that's my gift to you, nontinfoilemf.com/Shauna. I hope you like it. And it's very simple. And all these tricks will not require you to purchase something more than maybe $15-$20. I make it my priority. I do not want people to invest a lot of money to take action on something that would not be ethical at all.
I love that. And yeah, we'll provide the link to that. We'll also provide the link to your book, because your book is like talking to a friend, right? You really break this down into completely conversational, easy to understand, interesting, fun conversation. And to make EMF a fun conversation is no small feat. It really isn't, because there's a lot of science to that and you do a great job at that. And I wanted to just go back to what you were saying really quickly about when people get healthier and they start to feel better, what I've found is that there's a tipping point, right? For people to start manifesting a lot of, you know, health symptoms. And it's like you said, it's a holistic thing. You know, maybe the food isn't in a great place. Maybe there's no body movement or exercise going on. Maybe there is a buildup of toxicity, right? Everybody's life has been different and they've taken in different things and they've had different experiences. Maybe they've worked in a place that was toxic, right? And so then you throw the EMFs on top of that, and then you throw these other things on top of it, and it creates this tipping point for people. And so when we start to look at nutrition, when we start to look at how we move our body or getting exercise in, and we look at EMFs and we look at toxicity, and we start doing things in all of these areas, we bring ourselves off that tipping point, right? We get healthier in all these different ways, and then our body is able to handle it, right? It's able to cope in all these different ways. And so those symptoms that people have start to go away or dissipate, right? And so that's why what Nicholas and I are talking about is not going into fear and needing it to change everything overnight or try to be perfect in one area or another. It's just looking at these different areas of health and going, how can I just bring myself off the tipping point, right? And just lower the easy things to you know, reduce or get rid of or shift or change. And sometimes it's as simple as getting rid of toxic cleaning products. I mean, that's easy, right? It's not going to affect your life much. Or like Nicholas said, turning off the Wi-Fi at night. All those things are simple little actions that will make a huge difference over time.
I couldn't agree more with you. And I think that if there's something I might add is that all these steps bring us back to nature. And now I sound like like a barefoot.
No.
I'm actually barefoot at the moment. But I mean,
talk about this all the time, Nicholas. Yeah. Please,
well,
go on.
But I mean, so in nature, the EMF, so if I talk about the exact frequencies that a cell phone used, they were 1 quadrillion lower. So these frequencies are dirty. They're artificial. The kind of light that we talked about that just burns your eyes from your screen and that makes you fatigued and instantly your body calmed down when it wasn't on. It's artificial. When we eat artificial food and we have almost artificial thought driven by ads that tell us what to think and like everything that has been artificialized brings us a little bit closer to sickness oftentimes. That's a trend I'm seeing. And I mean, it's not crazy. Science is also going in this direction. So if you remove everything that's artificial, you create, I don't know, if you sleep like in the middle of the forest in your bedroom, even though you live in downtown LA, because you remove these signals, you will thrive more. You will be closer to even your humanity, I think. I mean, yes. I think it's about time that we just say, you know what, this is not what nature intended us to do. And each time we're trying to screw that up, we discover oftentimes 30 years after the fact, oops, we screwed up in a big way. And I think EMS is one of the biggest screw ups that we ever did as a humankind. And I don't think it's the last, unfortunately, but it's just like how humankind evolves. Like things go so fast, we get caught up in technology and excitement, but we gotta keep our heads cold and say that nature had the perfect design. And that we need to be cautious and not paranoid about technology, but cautious. And what we're doing right now is the opposite of cautious. So, I'll actually share the last thing that can actually help you reduce this sensitivity to EMF is just going barefoot, doing grounding and walking on the grass, on the beach. And this is actually an amazing thing. If you can do it every day, you will feel more resilient in a very high EMF environment. So if you're in LA, go by the beach and you just walk barefoot for a couple of minutes, 30 minutes per day, you'll feel amazing. And a lot of people report better sleep. And there's humongous amounts of science now behind that as well. It's not even just spiritual practice. It's a physical and even therapeutic practice, grounding yourself every day.
I love that. And it's so true. Everything you said, it's a lot of, you know, ancient spiritual practices are going to be founded in science. They work. They worked for a long time, you know, when we were really living according to nature. And they, you know, people, they were bright back then, right? They knew how the human body needed to move with nature and survive, right? Without nature, we don't survive. And so I love that message. And I love that, you know, that we're talking about not being in fear about it, but really about how to get into practical action about it and not be perfect with it, right? Just be aware. And I talked about in a last, I think it was the last episode or two episodes back, maybe the importance of being able to educate and inform ourselves. Because like we were saying, you know, and we've been saying over and over again, the manufacturers are not likely going to tell us all the time what the truth is. And they oftentimes don't know. They haven't done the research, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's listening to our intuition. It's educating ourselves, right? And really going off that guidance that we receive from our own intuition and from our own education, you know, which is independent of a manufacturer, or, you know, that's putting a product out. And say, okay, how can I lessen the impact, right? We just want to always be lessening the impact of some of these things. And like you said, staying away from the artificial as much as possible, or at least balancing it with things that are natural and given to us by nature is really just a great overall method for health.
I love it.
Amen to that, right? So I always close out the interviews with four questions, and it's based on a process that I take people through called the anatomy of transformation. And really these four pillars are how we can powerfully make changes in our life, whether it's with food or health or relationships or EMFs or anything. And really the first pillar is getting to the truth, right? And they say that the truth will set you free, which is true, but sometimes the truth can really piss you off first or make you frustrated first when you get to that truth. And so what is a truth that you've come across in your life that really kind of woke you up?
I just turned 30. And I just realized that I've been taking care of my diet a lot. And I realized, you know what, my body, my physical body, I'm aching. My hips are tight. My right shoulder is not right because I'm always with the mouse. And just my physical body, I realized I don't take care of it enough. So I joined a special gym that's like a garage, very manly approach, but where like kinesiologists are going to look at my body and like rebalance it. And I've had something really profound, like a feeling when I went, it's a place where I actually trained at 3-4 years ago. And then in the last 3-4 years, I went through adrenal fatigue and so much health troubles from just overworking. And I felt going back to square one, but as a better version of myself. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to handle this part of my health that I've been seriously slacking at.
I love that. That's so beautiful. And it's always a discovery process, right? Because, you know, even those of us in the health field, you're still waking up to new levels of health or areas that maybe you haven't paid attention to because you've been so focused in another area. And so it's always a journey, right? That we're always waking up to and rising up to every day. So I love that. And the second pillar of the process is called release, that oftentimes when we finally see the truth about something, there's something we need to release. And that could be like a belief system we have, a negative mindset about something, changing, you know, our time, our schedule, releasing something that we've been doing before to make room for the new.
A huge release has been in my entrepreneurial life. I've had really in the past when I was 4 years ago, I was young and really naive, and I got convinced that people we were in business with were really responsible for all my success as an entrepreneur. And lately, I've had the realization that they contributed greatly to the success, but that I took what was mine. Like I actually felt proud of what I accomplished, and I saw my own genius in a sense for the first time after years of a little bit holding back or feeling not worthy of that success. If that made sense, it was a very transformational couple of weeks because
yes, I love that. And so instead of thinking it was other people were responsible for that, really stepping into, okay, I've done this, like, and I am a part, you know, I am the creator of this, and it didn't happen because of other people.
Yeah. And it was really my ability. I'm a copywriter by, well, I had been a copywriter for TV ads for 3 years before being an author. And I have almost 10 years of writing under my belt, but somehow I felt that the past success I've had in marketing and in writing was not mine. It was always like, well, I could not have done it by myself. But the truth is, the ideas were there, and the copy that I wrote, I found some old copy that I wrote 4 years ago for a sales page that I had written as a copywriter for marketing. And it was great. I actually found it really great for the first time, reading myself and being like, wow, this is actually very strong. This is awesome. And this is me 4 years ago. So it made me realize that now I'm even better than that. And then I worked on the marketing and all the, that's the aspect that a lot of authors either like give to a company of publishing, but I'm self-published. So I have to take care of that with Jen, my wife, and ambulance again. I hope they're okay.
Yes, I know.
Oh my God. I don't know what's happening in the city, but it's sunny. I don't know what's wrong. But yeah, I just realized that I have the ability to do it again and to create this success in my life and to write the same way or even better than before. And then I wrote amazing stuff in the last week because of that. It's just unlocked something in me that was already there.
Yes. And that's what you're describing is really the third pillar. So once we release, right, this belief system that it's because of something else or that we can't own it or be worthy, the third pillar is experience. And when that goes away, what you're describing is gosh, now I can do this, right? Because I'm owning it. Now I'm writing, you know, great stuff, and it's probably just flowing out of you, right?
It is. It's bizarre because I mean, I love writing the book and all this, but after that, the reality of it in business, and this is not an aspect that I share on podcasts a lot, but is that you have to sell it to people. So it means you have to be convincing. You have to explain what it's all about, why they should buy. And it's putting yourself out there. And what if I have a book and there's good stuff in it, and I know, and even some people, my friends, my family, maybe my mom tells me oh, Nick, you're a genius. You know these things. But what if it doesn't sell? So it's very, very, I don't know. It's gut wrenching, you know, it's putting yourself out there and just, it can trigger fear. But now in the last weeks, I've just been on a mission to put this thing out and just so solution focus. We decided to launch a book on Amazon after all and have a hard copy there. And I just feel this sense of pride, like as if I'm taking all the right decisions now.
I love that. That's so beautiful. And the fourth pillar of the process is align, which is really about once we let go of that stuff and release and we start to open up, right, to this new creativity that comes through and this openness where we can really start to create at a bigger level the truth of who we are. And like you said, it's nerve-wracking, but you just put one foot in front of the other and you do it. You start to create an alignment with new people and new experiences and new things start showing up for you. And I know this is true for you from the experience of, you know, speaking on a huge stage in front of 400, 500 people at Mindshare. And now you're being interviewed all the time for the work that you do.
It's mind blowing what happened, Shauna. It was my first time speaking in public, at least in something important, like, and not as a teenager in class. I don't know, for some minor play that I was forced to do and that I hated to do. But it was incredible. And I saw the pictures last week that they sent, and I saw myself on stage holding this EMF electrosmog meter. And basically I started my speech by making people hear how these dirty frequencies in the air around them sounded like. And everyone kind of froze. And that was the energy in the room was incredible. And I almost barely remember anything I said, but I had practiced a lot with Jen, hopefully it came out well. But people, came to me afterwards, and I felt a sense of, I don't know, like, I have to embrace that. I have to own it and to deliver this information to these people. I had doctors with one doctor with probably 45 years of experience tell me you need to be a public speaker. And I was mind blown. I didn't even know what to say. And I still don't know how to thank these people enough. But I feel like it's leading me to a new path, and I want to make a real difference. Like I want to hopefully do my part to change the world. And it's always been what I had in mind when doing information as a health journalist. But there's always this requirement of making money and making a living that's always gets in the way of me sharing information the way I want to. Because I'm not paid if I don't recommend a product or do, I don't know, like, you know, a lot of people that are practitioners know what I'm saying. I mean, you have to, you'd rather maybe do all this for free, but then you realize you have zero in your bank account and you're broke. So you have to do something. So I felt like that this event triggered like me doing money, doing exactly what I should be doing. And yes. It has been 5 years in the making, basically.
Yes. And you know what, everybody, it's when you stay with the purest intention, which is what you have, right, which is to help people, and you keep doing the work, right, you keep showing up to it every day, right, showing up to it like you have, right, you take chances, you put yourself in environments that you go, oh my gosh, I don't, you know, here I go, and you kind of are jumping off the cliff, you know, and going, I'm going to just trust the process, which you've done. And then people start to show up, right? And all money is, it's just an exchange, right? It's just being able mm-hmm. to receive the gift of exchange for the gift that you're giving out, which is so huge. And you know, the reason why you stand up on stage and you kind of don't remember what you said is because you're the vehicle for this information, right? This information, its time is now on the planet, right? And this beautiful words and these great ways of explaining it in a super simple way, which is almost impossible with EMFs, is coming through you. That's your gift, right? And you're sharing it so powerfully with the world, and you will receive, right? And so it's just having that open heart and saying, yes, this is just the yin and yang. This is just the give and take of life, that I will share my heart and I will work hard and I will, you know what I mean? Give, and then I will receive from that. And it's so beautiful to see that happening for you, because you really do have a really pure spirit and you really care about sharing with people. And that's what matters.
Thank you. Thank you for these words. Honestly, it really vibrates and resonates with me when you said like receive. And this is, I think this might be my biggest struggle, that I need to receive more. Yeah.
Everybody who's a healer or in the health space or who wants to give this information and feels so compelled to share the information always has to work more on receiving than giving, mm-hmm. right? Because it's such a natural thing to want to give it. But you, I'm putting that intention out there for you that you can receive as big as you give. And you've just given for an hour of incredible information to all of the amazing people listening to this. And so I'm just so grateful for you. And I'm so grateful for this incredible book you wrote that I loved and absolutely read in one sitting. And I'll put all the links up there for the free gift and for the book so everybody can grab a copy. Really, it's a simple read and it really drives the point home. So thank you so much, Nicholas, for being with me today.
Thanks, Shauna. I had the best time on any podcast I've ever been on. Seriously.
Aww,
I loved it.
Thank you. That means the world
I love
to
it.
Me.
I love the depth of the conversation. I really, it really means a lot.
Thank you. You touched my heart. Have an amazing day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
If you liked today's episode and have any questions, I would love to hear from you. So send your thoughts and questions to info@shaunaekadahl.com. And if you want to help raise the frequency around the world, leave us a review so we can keep sending out some good vibes. Until next week, my hope and wish for you is that you love big and live abundantly.